before we complete season 7, it is time to revisit all of the big news that came out of Detroit from the 2024 draft on The Push Off. Everybody, welcome to a new episode of the Push Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show. Discusses everything that happened last week at the NFL Draft and gets you ready for that super long off season. I'm your host, Scott Hogan, and joining us as always, it's
Dan, soon to be Mr. Irrelevant. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to take a couple months off after this, man.
This is the wrap of season 7. It's always it's kind of an odd time of this because we're like heavily deep into the prospects. We're digging through the draft, and then it's like, shut it all down at this point. So it's fun to revisit the draft one more time now that all of the picks have been made. The NFL does get kind of quiet at this point. The schedule will come out. That'll happen on our off season here of the show. And then, you know, OTAs will start, and some other contracts will be made, and things like that. But yeah, until August, which is our plan on returning, around then, there's not much big stuff, and we'll recover all that at that time in what will be then season 8.
Yeah, and we're starting to see all of the non-compensatory free agents get signed.
Yeah.
So this is the bargain free agent zone. So the Cowboys suddenly are very active, but you know, first time all year. But this is it's really calms down quite a lot. You know, almost to the point where it's like you're just manufacturing fucking storylines from here till August.
There's a lot of it, yeah. I mean, the NFL is, to be fair, they find ways to put something on the books almost every month. Even in June, July, I'm sure there's going to be some NFL stuff that happens. But we'll be all right, and you guys will be all right, too. I do feel like, you know, maybe we build up a little new fan base with, you know, even college fans coming in, and then you know, there's nothing happens for a
see bit. You later.
Yeah, but
see you later, y'all.
That is the way that this news works, and it's nice for us to have a little break, get to see the family, and do a little more of that time, and go to bed a little earlier.
I haven't seen my family in 3 months because it's draft season. They know where the priorities are.
Yeah, well, you gotta sit down and make sure you're ready for this. Anyways, let's get through it. But first, some news. I have a couple guys got some extensions. Travis Kelce, 2 more years for the Chiefs, got a nice little raise. And Christian Barmore got himself a 4-year extension, up to $92 million for him. So this is a nice big one.
I like to see quality interior linemen get money because they're guys that usually don't, like, blow off the stack sheet. You know, I mean, Barmore had 8.5 sacks last year, which is, you know, really pretty impressive. But, you know, this was not a guy that people are like, oh, yeah, Christian Barmore, that's one of the top 5 defensive tackles in the league. But he's been really consistently good his entire time. He's been fantastic.
Defensive tackles are kind of a not shiny position on the defensive side of the ball out of almost everything else, and a lot of times you're eating up blocks and you're doing that stuff, you're doing the run instead of sacks, and the numbers and the stats don't really add up. And I think that's why you see a lot of the real good ones sticking with teams for a long time, because it's hard to find the guys that you can count on to do the dirty work inside. And then some Cowboys news. Dan, you got Zeke Elliott, sounds like he's returning, if he hasn't yet already, as your running back.
I don't know what number he's going to go with.
Okay.
That's the intriguing thing. Could be 15, could be 21. You know, we'll see. Because Stephon Gilmore was 21 last year. And he's not technically on the team right now, so someone still has to sign Stephon Gilmore.
But, yeah, you're right. All the numbers are pretty much available when you get signed as a free agent. He could go back to his college number and things like that. Dak's good friend returning. Does that help Dak? Contract talks or stick around, you know? Who knows?
I think we're going to have better pass protection. That's for fucking sure, you know? I mean, Tony Pollard was occasionally electric. I think we're past the point where Zeke is even occasionally electric. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be a solid guy that can stay in there for pass pro, you know, maybe flare out when there's a problem. So, you know, unless you're going to spend high capital on a running back, which we didn't draft a running back at all, unless you're going to spend high capital on a guy, just get guys that you know can play. And Zeke can still play at a high level. He was the Patriots' leading receiver last year. So... You know, okay. It doesn't say much about the Patriots, but it does say that his talent has not completely eroded. I don't know how many more years he has, but probably not a lot.
And then Michael Gallup, old Cowboys wide receiver, he's getting picked up by the Raiders. That's who I picked up.
I root for Michael Gallup, man. I mean, you know, he just never came back to form after that injury. I hope he does. You know, Raiders are not a rival for me at all, but, you know, $3 million is basically kicking the tires on a guy, you know, once you get to a veteran status.
Yeah, yeah. No, hopefully he's... Find some playing time there. Okay, so those are the names of people with new contracts. I've got that the NFL is going to be approving in-game wearing of the Guardian caps on the helmets. This is interesting. These saw their way onto practice fields. I don't know if it's even worn during practices in the regular season, but it was worn in like preseason stuff. Mm-hmm. Not even preseason games, but training camp. It's the cushioned outer thing that rolls over a helmet. Seems like they are allowing players to wear those in-game now starting this year.
Nerds.
it looks very silly, but the reason why they're doing it is because apparently the stats have shown that it really helps with those, you know, small minute hits.
So I personally think it should be mandatory. I know that sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, I mean, the amount that it helps is just so staggering, you know? It's a huge increase in protection of the head.
Okay.
And the head is the number one thing. Like,
yeah,
you know, yes, your body's going to get beat up. There's no doubt about that. But if you can do something to reduce the long-term brain damage, I think, if anything, the Guardian cap should be logoed. Like, let's go with some fucking logoed Guardian caps. You know, change the entire shell of the helmet anyway. It clearly is something you can play with. You know, it's not an incredibly heavy thing. Guys can get used to it during, you know, the preseason. But, like, what is somebody going to honestly tell a professional football player? Is like, oh, you look fucking stupid in that. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you not wearing fucking skin-tight pants and, you know, little knee pads? Like, you're putting little fucking knee pads and, like, yeah, protect yourself. Like, don't be a fucking idiot. Put the Guardian cap on. If it helps you and it, you know, keeps your brain active and healthy for a long time, I think it should be made mandatory. If it's that much safer, let's move on with it.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. I do believe your joke that you make is something that you'll hear, probably not out loud, not on any sports shows or anything, but from people. You'll at a bar or something, oh, man, that guy looks stupid. What's he wearing on his head? That's stupid, whatever. But it's like, look, at one point, they were only wearing little leather caps, and then, you know, yeah, we put face masks on those things and stuff. So, yeah, always looking for ways to make this game safer because everybody's getting faster and stronger is not a bad idea. So I'm okay with that, too. Try it out for a year, and if those guys that are wearing those are standing upright while the other guys are on the ground, you know, going Spaghetti Man, then yeah, I think you might have to do the next step and make a mandatory. So
yeah, maybe you're gonna look like fucking Darth Helmet, and that's fine. Like, yeah, that's just the way it's gonna be for now.
Yeah, but if it's, yeah, we're talking safety, people get used to it rather quick. You'll get used to it quick. All right, Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is getting interesting. Coming from a time where the games were getting pretty ugly. Now that's, you know, that's for Thursday and Amazon. But we had Jason Kelce's getting added to the pre-game desk there. And I think for Monday Night Football, ESPN, it's like Randy Moss and Ted Bruschi and Rex Ryan. Is it that group?
Is Rex Ryan doing it? I know that Bill Belichick's going to be joining the Manning cast, which I'm fucking thrilled
about. That was in my next step I was going to do. And it's not, I think technically the Manning cast, it's yet another broadcast like the Manning cast, except instead of the Manning brothers, Bill Belichick and Nick Saban watching the game and talking football.
Ooh, I fucking love that.
I know.
It was Saban. I thought it was him being on the man. Oh, that's fucking wonderful.
So this is what we get to look forward to on Monday nights. And either these two old guys are going to really feed into it well, or it's going to be a lot of rumbles kind of thing.
No, they love ball. Those two guys just fucking love ball.
I just wonder, are they also going to be good on television?
He's been great with McAfee. I mean, that is something I would watch all year, because you got two things. Number one, he's a guy who has done it at a high level for such a long time. Mm-hmm. There is no like checking of Bill Belichick's resume. Like, you do that shit occasionally with like Herm Edwards. You're like, Herm, what are you doing here? Like, yeah, you played for a long time. Get the fuck out of here, Herm Edwards. There is none of that with Bill Belichick. He is the greatest to ever do it. He's the greatest head coach in NFL history. And Saban would go down probably as the greatest head coach in college football history. So I can't wait, and maybe they'll do part of the broadcast in Croatian. Who knows?
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I agree that they're very knowledgeable guys, both of the two of them are, and that leads to some great stuff. So that's what I'm excited to see. It's just like, also, you know, when I listen to sports pundits, one I'm listening to now is like, you know, Charles Barkley a lot for the NBA ones. He's not the most eloquent guy and stuff like that, but he's sure is fun to watch. So will Belichick and Saban bring that quality to it? I assume if I get super bored with them, I'll just go to the Manning boys again.
Well, Bill Belichick tells some of the best fucking stories.
He does.
Him telling the story about when they traded for Randy Moss is fucking amazing.
That was fun.
It's a great, great story. Him talking about Ed Reed and Ed Reed processing like Peyton Manning. It's just like the level of detail that guy has is just, it's just absolute nerd heroin. I love it. If you're a football nerd, that's tune into that one. Because Manning does a great job. Eli's not as analytical. But, like, Saban and Belichick, ooh, what a smorgasbord.
Yeah, yeah. And then, finally, for the news, Dan, you sent me this thing. Tank Dell, poor guy, cannot catch a break. This time, just a bystander in a shooting. Was it at a club in Texas?
Yeah, it's a crossfire in a Florida nightclub.
Oh, Florida, okay. So, yeah, wrong place, wrong time is what they're saying. And he seems to be okay, at least, though. You know, Tank Dell will be fine. But
yeah, it's so weird when dudes get fucking shot.
Yeah.
Like, God, I've never been shot. You ever been shot, Scott?
Luckily, no. Yeah. No, knock on wood. Neither of us get shot.
I do work in Chicago, so we'll find out.
All right. Let's talk about the 2024 draft. This is a draft, just real quick, to throw out the big numbers on this. Straight up first round that this offensive player run for the first 14 picks. It's the longest run of any side of the ball for any part of the draft. You're talking about there's never been a part of the draft where they go, you know what, we're all going to take 16 straight defenders or whatever. It's never happened in the NFL draft, and now we had it start this one, and it's 14 straight offensive players.
That's crazy.
23 of the first 32, 23 of the first round offensive players. Just, yeah, heavily weighted on that side of the ball.
Well, we didn't have any elites on the defensive side this year.
True. It was and to be fair, yeah, it was a heavy offensive front because quarterbacks, wide receivers, and then something that I guess I didn't realize was going to be as big as it was is offensive tackles. There was 8 offensive tackles in the first round went, and it's just a record tie. There's also a record tie for QBs in the first round with 6 and wide receivers in the first round with 7.
That's what happens when you go all offense.
Yeah.
Somebody had that oops all quarterbacks.
Yes.
Great.
And that quarterbacks have never, I mean, obviously since 6 went, the only other time that was 83 and Marino was the last to go in like the 20s. To go 6 of them in the top 12, never happened. So
truly insane.
This was a wild draft. This was not one that is normal by any stretch of the imagination, one that we will probably be looking back at for a long time. in set in Detroit, where they said 775,000 people attended. Now, I'm assuming that is the span of 3 days. I assume you can count the same person coming each day as separate or whatever. You know, just counting how many people showed up there a day or something. But
because that is more than the population of Detroit.
Yes, yes. Obviously, there were some visitors there. I saw the view of the street and out in front of the stage and how big and open that was. You and me, we were in Kansas City the year before. We went to the Nashville one too. I don't know. I heard they closed down the Detroit one entry on Thursday night, a good half an hour before the draft started.
Wow.
So they said it on the broadcast, yeah.
Ton of fucking people there. I mean, there's literally nothing else to do in Detroit, so it did make sense. But I doubt it was 700. I doubt it was the entire population of Metro Detroit. Although there's so many suburbs around Detroit that feed into it. You know, Detroit itself has less than 700,000 people, but the Detroit metro area, I want to say, is around 5 million.
If you think about it as a centralized place, it's not far for Chicago people to drive, Cleveland people, Indy, Cincinnati. Yeah, I mean, before Kansas City was a, you know, shoulder-to-shoulder mess, we thought about it. But yeah, this sounds like, you know, it was another 100,000 people, so even more packed with people. And I don't know, for some people that's you know, concert going atmosphere, they love that stuff. But I think you and me have outgrown it.
It's a little loud. Everything's a little loud. There's too many people everywhere.
Took so long just to get a drink when we first walked in. Yeah, so anyways, so how do you want to jump into this? You want to start at the top, kind of go through? I think that's probably the best way.
I mean, I want to talk grades. You know what I mean? I want to talk these fucking...
Sure.
Like who nailed it? Who did a fucking bad job? But yeah, we should probably get through it. Talk about the deets.
You and me did a mock, and I went 6 for 6 to start it. Let me just say, I felt pretty proud of myself. I should have maybe done some type of betting, some type of parlay on that. But it was something that everybody probably should have. Or a lot of people saw it going. It was Caleb Williams, number one, Jaden Daniels, two. Those were pretty chalk. Drake May, three, because the Patriots stayed and picked. So that was expected there. We all picked that, and even we did all Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I had the Joe Alt pick at to the Chargers, and Dan had Romo Odunze at that spot, so not far off. We all had Malik Nabers going to the Giants, which is what the Giants decided to do. So I don't know all the talk about Giants going after quarterback, if that was smoke or if they were only interested in like Jaden Daniels and Drake May, but they decided they did not care for Penix, McCarthy, or Bo Nix at that spot at the Giants pick.
That makes sense to me. I mean, you know, you've got so much money tied up in Daniel Jones. Like, it'd be insane to have that much money tied up in a quarterback and then draft somebody with a top 8 pick. That's crazy. No team would do that. That's fucking nuts.
I like what you're doing. Yeah, no, the Malik Nabers thing. First of all, Malik Nabers doesn't look totally excited to go to New York, but in their situation there, it's a little rough for him. But, he's getting a chance to... They're giving Daniel Jones some weapons. They're giving him another shot, and with that much money, you do that. And I think it's the smarter choice, especially if you're not in love with a quarterback to take over for him immediately. If somebody fell in your lap, if you're one overall, and Caleb's there, okay. But, yeah. So it started with J.C. Latham. I didn't pick him going that early. You didn't either. Neither of us, in fact, had him going for a while. But it makes sense that the big butt Alabama tackle was favorited, and the Titans are obviously, with Callahan there as the head coach, now very focused on setting up that offensive line again.
Yeah, they're ass men down there in Tennessee. So good for them, getting a real player there.
After the Titans picked was the Falcons at 8. Who did the Falcons pick? Now I'm drawn.
Wow. So. Here's the crazy thing, right?
Yeah.
We talk a lot about best player available.
Okay, yes.
Michael Penix was my number one ranked quarterback.
Right.
My number one ranked quarterback.
Quarterbacks are big.
But they also had some other problems, and Romo Dunze was still on the board.
Yeah, you're elite prospect.
I actually feel like, and I mean this in all sincerity, if Romo Dunze was not still on the board, I would be like, this is a pretty good pick.
Okay.
I know that sounds crazy, but it's like, hey, he's the best player available. There is no way that Romo Dunze is not only a better player than Michael Penix, because he clearly is. Michael Penix is not an elite player. He is better. He is a position of need, because you don't need quarterback. You just signed Kirk Cousins for 4 years. You just signed him for four fucking years, which means you get him for at least the next 2 years,
yeah.
Which means, worst case scenario, Kirk Cousins bottoms out in 2 years. You cut him, and you got a 26-year-old Michael Penix throwing
right.
the ball. Now, best case scenario for Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins goes in, has one season, goes, you know, I think I'm done playing football. Michael Penix, get in here. Or if Kirk has not recovered from the Achilles, Penix might actually get a starting opportunity early.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the top eight pick, when you have other fucking needs,
yeah.
when Romo Dunze is available, I don't like this pick. If the Falcons were picking at 9, the Bears picked Odunze at 8, I know that sounds like not a big difference, but to me, then he is one of the best players available. And I can always forgive best player available.
Falcons, the last four drafts, somebody pointed out, skill players. It was Kyle Pitts, Drake London. Last year was the running back.
Bijan
Robinson. And now they go Penix. So it would have been the fourth year in a row of a skill player if you go Romo Dunze. But I do, wide receiver is still in need. Why
yeah.
not? I mean, why you?
You have three of them on the field at all times.
Yeah, and best player available is the pick there. So, yeah, if you were stuck there and nobody wanted to trade up, and I think after the Giants didn't take a quarterback, that technically could have been the case. The Broncos, Raiders, and Vikings could have been like, we're picking soon. There's three guys. We'll be okay. Because those were the teams, I think, looking to trade up. Other than them, you know, well, I don't know. Romo Dunze's on the board. You can't tell me there wasn't somebody that wanted him as a wide receiver willing to trade up. But if that wasn't enough and they couldn't trade back, had to make that pick. Yeah, right. I still don't like it because it means, one, you sign Kirk Cousins not only to that much money, but a no-trade clause. No trade clause. So you couldn't have always
but
had
he
this
can,
plan,
he
too.
Can, yeah, he can say, like,
he
hey,
can decide it, but it doesn't give you much of an option.
And you eat all that salary cap. It's
that, too.
Absurd.
Yeah, you already paid him guaranteed money. And two, yeah, so this tells me you had to have not planned this until you saw, like, his pro day and you, like, fell in love. The choice to draft Penix had to have come up after Kirk Cousins. So the Kirk Cousins signing was right around Combine.
Yeah.
I mean, you
got to think to yourself, all right, now the only way I'm more okay with this, right?
Okay.
Is say the Falcons go into that draft and they do what I did. They go, hey, you know what? I think Penix is better than Caleb Williams.
Sure.
I think he's the best quarterback in this draft. And I think not only is he the best quarterback in this draft, I think he's an elite prospect. I think he's going to turn this franchise around. That's great. You need to be further along in your evaluation process.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you need to be further along in your fucking evaluation process.
Before you hand the keys over to Kirk. Or
give him
get a
so
bridge.
Much money.
Get a bridge. Kirk Cousins is not being paid as a bridge QB.
Yeah, you don't need Kirk O'Chains if you're like, hey, you know, we might get a guy. I think
you
we're going to
Gardner Minshew. You need...
Yeah.
Who else is a bridge here? You need...
So, but here's the big brain shit, right?
Bring back Marcus Mariota.
Maybe Atlanta's like, you know what we don't want? We don't want somebody jumping in front of us to take Michael Penix. So we're going to have... This
and
is
he would
have
gone... He would have gone the first round, for sure.
Yeah, but somebody going like, hey, we don't want the Giants to take Penix at 6 or somebody to trade into 6 or trade into 7 and get Michael Penix right in front of us. Because if the Atlanta Falcons are there at 8 and the top 3 QBs are gone, everybody knows Atlanta's going to take a QB there. You know, maybe Minnesota jumps and takes the guy that they want. you know. But this is big brain shit.
So they sign Kirk Cousins just so everybody keeps their hands off of Penix. Wow.
That's how much they love Michael Penix. They sign Kirk Cousins to that much money, being like, nobody look, nobody check on our love for Michael Penix.
Again, there's some, like you said, there's so many needs. So here's another weird suggestion I came up with, but I already know there's so many holes in it. But talking about best player available, is one of the most expensive draft picks a first round quarterback? If you think about it, first round quarterback. I mean, you're going to turn around a young first round quarterback, and he's going to be 24 here very soon. But it's still a young rookie on his rookie deal quarterback. Let's say Kirk Cousins comes in, Achilles is fine, balls out, Falcons go 11 or whatever, win the division, they look really good. So they're like, well, we're going to roll back with Kirk. Next year, could Michael Penix be a trade value?
No.
No?
Because I say, I will give you two words, right? I'll give you two words, one person.
Yeah.
That should put a small shudder in your spine. Jordan Love.
Sure.
Jordan Love. So this is weird. Jordan Love, I mean, we're talking about age, right? So Jordan Love's been, you know, in the NFL since 2020, right? Mm-hmm. He was drafted in 2020. So that's 4 years ago. He's 25 now. So he's a young QB when he was drafted. But that was also 4 years ago, basically, right?
Right.
So 2020, 21, 22, 23. So he had 3 years just sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And then takes over because, hey, we're done with Aaron Rodgers. They signed him to kind of a sweetheart extension, and then he balls out. Right? He had a great season last season. So Jordan Love, if you apply that same logic, when the Jordan Love occurs for Kirk Cousins, he'll be 27 years old. You know, Michael Penix will be 27 years old on still a team-friendly deal for at least a couple years, will probably sign an extension and then can still be a NFL-quality quarterback for a decade after that.
And quarterbacks, you're right, quarterbacks play longer, so the idea of Penix being on the older side of a drafted quarterback, and he is, as far as first-round quarterbacks ever
He's not
go.
John Beck, though.
And no, he's no Brandon Whedon. But that is something that really confused me this year's draft, is this COVID years, ages.
Yeah. Guys with 6 years of time.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, well, he's 24 because, wait, what? Huh? Wait, what?
Yeah.
But anyways.
The J.J. McCarthy's of the world, though.
I think it's an entirely different situation than the Jordan Love stuff like that. I mean, you had a Packers team that were racing to the championship game about every year, and Aaron Rodgers had been there for a long time. You didn't just go sign Aaron Rodgers. This is more like if the Jets last year spent all that money in trade for Aaron Rodgers and then went and drafted Will Levis.
So I 100%
that's what it feels like.
I'm saying universally, I am deriding this pick because I, number one, don't think it was best player available. Number two, I think this is a huge expense on not a position of need. So even if you're not best player available, but it's like, hey, this is kind of a position of need, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, Jordan Love was drafted with the 26th pick,
right?
Not number eight pick.
Yeah.
That is a order of magnitude different, drafting a guy in the end of the first round versus the top 10.
Yep.
So I think this is a horrible pick by the Atlanta Falcons. I see some logic into it,
but it's just bonkers.
Bonkers.
Okay, I'm with you there, too. All right, and everybody's been saying it. We're just laying into the Falcons more. Let's move on. The Bears, Roma Odunze falls into their lap at
great.
Nine.
You getting Bears. An elite and the number one everybody else's QB. Fucking great job, Chicago.
Yeah, no, you had Bears fans talking like, well, can we trade up and stuff to get one of these wide receivers? And it's like, no, because you don't have any other picks after this. Like, they had two, three other picks after this and even used one on a punter. But these two and the team that they have set up, it really feels like Chicago has gone out there and been one of those teams to win the offseason.
They really have. They've increased their standing in the NFL so tremendously. I don't think they could have had a better draft. Now, not only this year, but last year, trading that pick, I think they've had a slam dunk last 2 years in terms of being a rebuilding franchise. You're responding to my saying the Bears were great.
I know. I hate to hear it, but they've been down for so long that they're due a little time in the sun, and yeah, I'm scared. I'm a little scared of seeing what's going to happen, but nobody usually wins games on paper, so we got to see. Yeah. They got to play it. And Caleb Williams got some growing to do.
With the exception of 2 years, the Bears have been terrible my whole life.
Is that, yeah.
It's yeah. truly, truly stunning.
They've always been a problem for my Vikings, but they, yeah, have had some rough years. Speaking of, the Vikings picked after the Bears by moving up one pick, segue. They took who we thought we both mocked them taking at 11, J.J. McCarthy, Michigan, your boy from there. At this point, I mean, I was feeling good about the way the draft was breaking. With them not, if they didn't get Drake May, I think that was probably their first choice. It seemed like that was their guy they liked first, and McCarthy's got to get over that, unfortunately. But
he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he will too. The way I see it, though, is either they had to go, they used their second first round pick just to jump it over there and getting Dallas Turner, and I'm thinking, either you are getting J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner like this, or you're getting just Drake May and probably giving up an early round pick in the future that you still have now. So is Drake May going to be that much better than J.J. McCarthy when it's all said and done? I don't know, especially when the situations that they're going to be put in here with the Patriots and kind of a bare-bones setup for May, who has to play right now. Yeah. J.J. McCarthy, who technically, you know, at 21 years old, and May's 21 as well. I think that was something the Vikings were interested in. Maybe they liked Penix. Maybe the age didn't bother them. But the idea that you can put a quarterback behind Darnold for a year, behind some people, let him learn with, you know, O'Connell and what's his name that they got, the QB coach, McCown.
You're not talking about Jaren Hall, are you?
No, I'm talking J.J. McCarthy learning. I think that's the plan, but yeah, because I don't know if Jaren Hall's got that, what it takes. What it comes down to is, and I believe this, I think J.J. McCarthy is somebody, he brought it up like watching the quarterback thing on Netflix. It's like, you know, Kirk Cousins was losing his shit sometimes and getting a little antsy, and he had that Kirk Cousins anxiety about him. If J.J. McCarthy is a cool-headed kid and can learn on the fly, he's got the talent around him. They've got the quarterback mind around him. The only thing that can keep him from having success is he just doesn't have it. He just lacks it.
Well,
or
there's
injury.
Also a weird scenario that could occur. Oh? There's no saying J.J. McCarthy is the starter coming into this. Sam Darnold is still there. Sam Darnold has starting experience. Sam Darnold is not that old. You know, so if you have a guy like Sam Darnold where you're saying to yourself, all right, well, I think this guy might still be able to, you know, play a little bit. You know, maybe he's not top tier. You know, maybe we want J.J. McCarthy to eventually be the starter, but, like, you don't need to rush the fucking guy.
Heck,
you know,
no.
Sam Darnold's 26 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he's only slightly older than Michael Penix.
I mean, I understand, too, best-case scenario in this is the same thing, again, Green Bay did, and let J.J. McCarthy sit for 2 to 3 years behind a Sam Darnold who gets a resurgence and wins Comeback Player of the Year this year. Mm-hmm. I get that's you know, that's golden rule. What I am hoping for, what I'm just, you know, hoping happens, Sam Darnold's good for six. Good for six wins, then he can go about his life. That's all I'm hoping. Give J.J. McCarthy some chance, you know, half a year to learn. And before he's thrown into the fire. But I get it. The Vikings are in a spot where this year might be a little rough. But I'm excited to see what this kid's got when he's throwing it to, you know, J.J.
The best
the other J.J.
in the
NFL. Yeah, and Addison and Hockenson when he's healthy, all that stuff. So, I'll, you know, dust settled. That's what Scott Hogan thinks of this pick.
Did you hear what Jefferson said? He goes, oh, you don't need to worry. Nobody calls me J.J. I'm Jettas.
Yeah, I'm Jettas.
I was like, just so you know. That's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, J.J., I think, is something that Paul Allen did. You'll have to figure it out. But after him, so the Jets moved down one, and they did not take Brock Bowers, who we were expecting. They took Fashanu, who was my favorite tackle. Dan, you had him pretty high, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was right up there. He was my number two guy.
And you had him, in fact, going ahead of that to the Bears. So he goes to the Jets. I think that's a smarter pick, obviously, than the Brock Bowers thing. I think Brock Bowers was a nice fit for maybe them and Rodgers, but he can't be upset with a nice, you know, with some more protection, too.
Can't go wrong with O-line, man. I mean, even if he's not a left tackle, if he gives you solid starting time on the right side, I mean, Mekhi Becton just left in free agency, so you got a hole.
Right.
So it makes sense to fill it with one of the more physically talented prospects coming out this year.
After them were the Broncos at 12.
There's a reach.
Broncos go with the sixth reach of the quarterbacks in Bo Nix. Sean Payton, impressors afterwards. Very tricky, Sean Payton says that he did push the little narrative that maybe he was interested in J.J. McCarthy or some other quarterbacks that he might trade up, and that maybe forced those Vikings to move up a spot with the Jets to get him early so the Broncos could just stay and pick the guy that they always wanted, Bo Nix.
Bo Nix strikes me as the sort of guy that Sean Payton would, like, fall in love with.
And that makes sense.
Ran an option at Auburn. That's what I want to do here in Denver. It's like, get the fuck out, Sean.
I did think Bo Nix is not a bad fit for the Broncos. He can probably play right away, too, and they need that. He needs to be kind of thrown in right away for Denver. Here's something, though, because I bring it up. I don't understand. If Sean Payton was truly sticking it to the Vikings or trying to trick them, why? Why? What's the point there?
He wasn't. He's just being a dickhead. He's just on his pills again.
I know. I mean, I know the Vikings fans don't care for Sean Payton, but I just don't think Sean Payton, you know, has the Vikings living in his head that much. But
no,
they're not even in the same conference. In fact, it's the Jets that got the pick.
But he will never forgive the Vikings for what you guys did to him.
Perhaps he won't. Perhaps the miracle is what it is, and that's fine, but I find it silly that he thinks that he got something over on
you're living rent-free in his head, buddy. You're living
rent-free. Maybe, because it's, yeah, they got Bo Nix. All right, Raiders Brock Bauer. This is something that I just didn't care for. I don't know. It's I thought Michael Mayer looked great, and they took him in the second round last year and didn't really use him that much. You got a lot of other issues, I thought, than a tight end in the middle or to early first round. But
I mean,
everybody likes Brock Bowers.
Michael Mayer got some stats last year. You know, he had 300 receiving yards as a rookie. That's perfectly respectable.
Yeah.
He's still only 22 years old. I mean, you got him in the second round. If you're going to be like, hey, we're going to run two tight end sets all the fucking time, you know, that's definitely an option. If you want to be an Antonio Pierce, you know, run the fucking football, run it down people's throats sort of offense, having two talented tight ends isn't going to hurt you a ton. Having Michael Mayer and, you know, Brock Bowers, you've got two pretty explosive options there at the tight end position. You could make an argument that this was a best player available pick here, too. I would say that is probably not the case, but if you're not in love with the medical for Latu, I totally get it, and I can totally forgive something like this.
It was one that we were expecting around this time. We just thought he fit better with the Jets, and the Jets they wouldn't say passed on him. It felt like, somebody was going to think, hey, this is a steal, but I don't know. But the Raiders, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Fuaga to the Saints. This was not one I was totally excited about, but did see them going offensive line. It finally, the defense breaks.
Crazy.
Le'Atu Latu, our favorite edge rusher, as long as his neck's okay, to the Colts after, what was it? So that's the 15th pick, all the way halfway through the first round, and he goes off the board as the first one. So excited that he did go there. I had him going the very next pick, and Dan, you had him going all the way up with Atlanta, which probably could have been a better choice for Atlanta for the weekend. But
yeah, probably, honestly.
Here we are. And then Byron Murphy to the Seahawks, Dallas Turner, we already touched on to my Vikings. That's a nice, you know, new edge rusher there.
That's good for you. 17.
Greenard, you know, Danielle Hunter's gone. Like it. And I think that's good. Value. That's the word I'm looking for there.
Yeah. He's no Danielle Hunter, but, you know, very few men are.
Danielle Hunter was a third-round draft pick who had to be molded. I think Dallas Turner comes in a little bit more polished, but I could use some more pass rusher moves and stuff from him. Yeah. We weren't as sold on him as some other guys. Yeah, like Latu was already gone. Mims. Oh, and they did trade up to get Turner with the Jaguars. Gave up some later picks like next year and stuff. So basically Vikings doing without, or they did without the second and third, like nothing day two this year, and a lot of day two gone next year. So
they
we'll
must
see how it goes.
They must think they're close, man, or they must really value Dallas Turner's position here.
I think when you're looking for these strong players, you know, a quarterback that you're selling yourself as a franchise future guy, and then, yeah, pass rusher, those are guys that you got to spend the draft capital on, I think. True. I just think those are positions. You're not always going to get lucky. Mims, the Georgia tackle to the Bengals. There you go, Bengals. Can some offensive line
good
help.
For them.
Jared Verse to the Rams. I think that's good value there. I liked Verse.
Oh, yeah.
And then Fatanu to the Steelers. That's the third Washington guy going in the first round. So look at those guys going. Chop Robinson to the Dolphins. Dan really liked him. Then Quinn Mitchell to the Eagles. Eagles, one of the things I really enjoyed was their cornerback selections in this draft. In the second round, they did take Cooper DeJean when Kool-Aid McKinstry was still on the board. But you're talking zone to man, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who knows?
It well, sure seems like
Cooper DeJean can play zone.
I think, yeah, Quinn Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, that's some solid zone cornerbacks. You just do zone coverage from there.
Yeah, just run.
Jaguars traded back and got Brian Thomas Jr., who I had them mocking to them already, all the way up for where they picked with the Vikings there. And you had Thomas Jr. even going earlier than that. So mm-hmm. That's great value, I think, to the Jaguars that late in the round. Tarion Arnold goes to the Lions. They traded up for him, and I had him going so much earlier. The Lions,
oh, yeah.
That's a strong pick for them. And at that point, too, we all still had, I think, first-rounders that we expected going until the Packers took this Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. Now, Jordan Morgan is not a guy, Dan, that you touched on.
Nope.
Prospect-wise, I don't think he was expected to go first round, but like I said, a big run on offensive tackles, tied the record. So I guess at some point, you know, you had to be looking maybe.
Yeah, you start going like, oh, shit, we're not going to get a tackle out here. But, I mean, there were other offensive linemen that had higher grades than Jordan Morgan. In fact, the guy that went next, Graham Barton, is a guy that you're like, hey, you know, we can play him at multiple positions. I disagree, but we'll talk about it soon, is Tyler Guyton, probably a higher ranking than Jordan Morgan. So, you know, I do find it interesting that 24th pick was the Cowboys pick. We traded with the Lions, got their first-round draft pick, and a third-round pick. So that's a big penalty to move up just five spots.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. The Cowboys moved back with the Lions. The Lions moved up to get Tarion Arnold. Now, that's a strong pick. Mm-hmm. So it is that. But, yeah, you guys are getting you got their first-rounder this year here, and you got their third-rounder to go up five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what you received from that. And then since you guys also went tackle, the only tackle that went was Jordan Morgan to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Barton went to the Buccaneers after that, but that's interior.
Good pick. They needed that, though. I think that's a good position for Graham Barton to be taken.
That's true. I forgot that Tampa's definitely in need of rebuilding that special interior of offensive line. Darius Robinson to the Cardinals. This was not a guy going in the first round. You either. I don't think we talked about him.
No, we didn't. Little stiff, man. Little stiff. I don't see. I mean, there's always a guy that goes in the first round where you're like, really? Okay. You know, I don't get it. But if you think he fits your scheme and you know you think it's really good, but I don't see it, man. I don't see it. He's another guy that played for five seasons and just not super impressive to me. Hopefully I'm wrong for the sake of the Cardinals, but yeah, I don't love it.
I believe there's only four guys I picked that didn't go in the first round. They had four different guys went. Your last four on the board of your mock draft didn't go in the first round, but went pretty quickly in the second because you had Kool-Aid, Adonai Mitchell, Peyton Wilson, and Keon Coleman.
Wilson fell a long way.
Yeah, I'm surprised that too. Wilson fell, but he was still in the second round, wasn't he, or was he not?
No, he was gone. I think he was fourth round. He fell a long way.
Yeah, that is surprising. And in
third round, sorry.
Third rounder. To where? Where did he end up going?
Oh, of course, he went to the fucking Steelers because, you know, they're like, we'll see. Injury history, we don't give a shit in the third round.
Just wrap up the Chiefs trade up with Buffalo to take Xavier Worthy, fastest wide receiver. So you had him going to the Dolphins, which makes a lot of sense, but the Chiefs is another nice fit for super fast guy that, you know, doesn't run a lot of routes, but like I said, you know, you want to run across the field and we'll just get to you. Seems like an old guy that used to be on that team.
Yeah, it's very much a fuck it, Xavier Worthy's down there somewhere sort of situation. But the last time the Buffalo Bills traded with the Kansas City Chiefs in the first round.
I know it was.
Yeah, so I'd be, you know, Buffalo was like, well, maybe this guy's going to stab Patrick Mahomes in the locker room. Maybe, you know, hopefully something terrible happens now. The monkey paw curls again. But, yeah, that's, you know, Xavier Worthy, just a ton of speed. I think Andy Reid's going to get the best out of him.
Yeah. I was surprised with the trade back, but Buffalo liked more wide receivers, it seemed. Your Cowboys were next. They were done trading back. They take Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma. So give me your thoughts, Dan, on your Cowboys here.
Listen, I don't like Tyler Guyton. Mm-hmm. I did not like him coming out. I gave him a third-round grade. We talked about the sort of athletic upside that Tyler Guyton has.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about how I liked the athletic upside, but I didn't think he was ready as a plug-and-play guy, and in the first round, that's what you want. I will say, though, I do like Tyler Guyton and a third-round pick. I will say that. Tyler Guyton and a third-round pick, more specifically, the third-round pick that became Cooper Beebe. So if you tell me that I got Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe with my first-round pick, I'm like, okay, that's actually not so bad. I hope he's able to put it together. I hope he's really, really good this year. I don't think it's an immediate start for him there at left tackle. I think it's going to take some time, but the Cowboys have not missed on a first-round offensive lineman in a long time. And you could even make an argument that Connor Williams in the second round was not a miss either. He just didn't hit for the Cowboys, but he was one of the better centers in the NFL before his injury last year.
From the Tyler Guyton pick, oh, man, I had a question for you. I know what it was. So, didn't you guys take a tack? You had Mazi Smith last year in the first round. Okay. All right. No, I had Tyler Guyton in the first round. In fact, I had him going to the Niners, two more picks after that. So, he was going to go there. I think the big name tackles were off the board at that point, and after that, he was one of those in the next tier. Like you said, if you had him as a third round, but if you were specifically looking for offensive line help, he was probably one of the next guys.
I wanted Zerhan Newton. That's who I wanted there.
Sure, but that's an entirely different position. But, yeah, I get you. Yeah, interior defensive help. And he ends up going.
And if I was going to take a lineman, too. I wanted Jackson Powers Johnson, right?
Yeah,
I wanted Jackson Powers Johnson. Now, if you tell me I got Jackson Powers Johnson and Cooper Beebe, I'm not worried about the interior of my line for the next 8 years.
You're probably a little happier, yeah. I get you. And I thought Jackson Powers Johnson would go first round, too. He actually goes to the Raiders in the second. To wrap up the first, Nate Wiggins to the Ravens.
Reach.
Yeah, I had him going around then, though, but I get it.
Although it's the Ravens, so now he's going to be fucking great, so whatever.
Ricky Pearsall, Florida, for the 49ers. This is not a guy we talked about. Kind of an exciting tape, though, in the highlight reel that they put on there. He seems like he's a weapon guy, maybe can be a return guy, maybe, too.
Yeah, all the measurables are good. He's got good size, a little thin, but, watching C.J. Stroud react to Ricky Pearsall coming off the board in the first round tells me everything I need to know about Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, I saw that same thing. You're right. He was not happy that he was gone. And then finally, to wrap up the first round, the Panthers trade back in. The Bills are not done trading out, and the Panthers are, damn it, we want in the first round, even if it's been all big of a mess here. And they take Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, somewhat of a hometown boy there.
Yeah, absolutely a fucking hometown boy. That is the most country motherfucker I have ever heard. Yeah, just straight up like, I live down a road, y'all. I'm like, God damn, you are a cartoon character.
What's so funny is it's the pressers of these two picks, the end of the first day and the beginning of the second, that have been the most fun. Xavier Leggett, you cannot understand him. Keon Coleman, Florida State. It's picked up by Buffalo, and my favorite thing is he's in the press conference. They're talking about how cold it is in Buffalo, and he's Florida State, and he's like, oh, I played, I forget where he said he played before, too, but he was somewhere up north. And then he's like, see this coat? You want where I got it? I love this coat, where I got it from.
And he's like, I played at Michigan State.
Oh, that's what it was, Michigan State, because he goes, you'll never guess where I got this coat. Guess. He's like, I don't know, Tom Izzo, the coach for the basketball team. He's like, no. Macy's. Yes. What do you mean?
It's so good. He's
totally serious, but it is like just comedic brilliance. It's great.
Keon Coleman, fucking tremendous production. Then came out and had a real shit combine, but in terms of production, fucking fantastic. Only played one season at Florida State. The other two were at Michigan State.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what happens here. I can keep running through here. There's a lot of names we looked at that went in the second round too, you guys. So, Dan, you kind of wanted to do some draft grades of people, things you liked, things you didn't. Go ahead on that.
So my Cowboys, I mean, I want to grade your draft and my draft really quickly.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, if you like the Tyler Guyton pick, you can't say that the Cowboys draft isn't solid. Marshawn Nealand, who reminds me of another DeMarcus Lawrence, I think he's a great pick there. Cooper Beebe, you got a wide linebacker in the fourth round. Basically got depth guys, offensive and defensive line. After that, I kind of like it. I would say if you like the Tyler Guyton thing, it's like an A, because you got some really quality starters there in the first three rounds. If you don't like the Tyler Guyton, like I don't, I'd say it's probably like a B-, which still, that's fine. We're not drafting guys that are going to, absolutely light shit up this year. But your Minnesota Vikings fucking knocked it out of the park with the J.J. McCarthy pick. I like it a ton, especially not having to move up a lot. Dallas Turner is great. You guys didn't have a ton of picks after that. But the Will Richard, the Alabama kicker pick, I actually really like that. I think you guys needed some help in the kicker situation, and I think that was a great pickup.
It's funny about Will Richard, so I read about it. It's like, he's almost automatic, like around 40s and stuff like that, but it's like his career longest is 52. It's like, that's not the greatest thing to hear about for NFL. You kind of want guys to kick it that far. Shit. I think, and we saw a handful of kickers get drafted. If you have a guy who can kick it, pretty accurate around that time, maybe this is for the kickoffs, the change in the rule of kickoffs.
That's true.
If you can accurately kick it within that 20-yard line, high up in the air or something, make him return it in a difficult spot, that might be where they think they're, playing chess with checkers. Excuse me. I wanted them to get cornerback help. Kyrie Jackson is a tall, big guy that has bounced around. I think he played Alabama, played Oregon, and it feels like he was like, get me in a place where I can get some playing time. So that's fun to see, because I think he's going to have to battle, and I think Flores likes cornerbacks who are gonna just fight for their parts on there.
Oh yeah.
But that's kind of that's kind of it. It's other than that, it was the offensive line, defensive line help, and a slew of UDFAs, like 17 guys. Because we got Pace Jr. from that group last year, I'm not sleeping on it. I'm still taking a look at these guys. There was a cornerback from Arkansas that was like mocked in the fifth round that we signed. So, especially now too, with college guys getting some money, you're like leaning towards the end of the sixth round, they're sitting there going, "Please don't pick me. I'd much rather be a UDFA and choose where I'm going."
For real.
So. Yeah, go ahead. Who else?
I will say the Indianapolis Colts had a fucking great first 2 days. Latu Latu, who we really like as long as he's healthy. Adonai Mitchell in the second round. I thought that's great.
They almost picked best player available with those two picks.
Oh, and then even in the third round, Matt Goncalves out of Pittsburgh. There was some talk he might have been a late first round pick. Wow. You know, he's a guy with a ton of upside. So I feel like the Colts actually kind of knocked the draft out of the park in the first two days. I thought the Chiefs had a really good draft as well. I mean, they got Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU, at, I want to say, the fourth round. Kingsley Suamataya, that's good quality depth there at the offensive line, which they need. And then Xavier Worthy. I thought they didn't give up too much to get him. I liked that. I thought the Raiders actually had a pretty decent one, too. Getting Brock Bowers, best player available. Jackson Powers Johnson in the second round, best player available. Tommy Eichenberg back in pick 148. Yeah. It's just quality, dude. It's really good. The Chargers did great. Joe Alt, Ladd McConkey Jr., Colson, really good. They even got Brendan Rice late, so he doesn't have to leave California.
It felt like they went Harbaugh. They fully have gone Harbaugh very early. That's, yeah. These are good, his guys. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
And sneaky really good is the Los Angeles Rams, who got Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, and Blake Corum, and then followed that up with Cameron Kitchens. Mm-hmm. So in your first three rounds, you're getting really quality guys that can probably start for you right away. You don't need Blake Corum to start for you right away, but you got a short yardage back, you know, if Kyron Williams, you know, gets hurt at all. So, yeah, I think those are really solid drafts all the way through. I don't think the Saints draft was super sexy, but I feel like they filled a lot of problems. Yeah, and I mean, honestly, the fucking Eagles did pretty good too. We're being honest, getting Jeremiah Trotter Jr. In the fifth round, we didn't. You know, that's where we thought Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was going to go. We're like, I don't know what everybody's seeing. This is crazy. Like, there's no way this guy's like a second round pick. Jeremiah Trotter went where we thought he was going to go, and then going to the Eagles. That's just nice and fitting for him.
Right. No. I had the Eagles on there too. I really liked the first two cornerback. I already talked about that. For the shit I gave the Packers and Jordan Morgan, let me go back and say I liked both your picks in the second round. Mm-hmm. After that, in the second round, Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard were our top guys in both those positions, in the safety and pursuit linebacker position. So those guys could probably start for you right away. And then along with your Eagles, you know who I think probably picked what I would have picked if I were in those positions and not trading out is the Commanders.
Yeah, I was going to say Jaden Daniels, Johnny Newton,
even Mike Sainstrill there, the cornerback.
Sainstrill is fucking great. Absolutely a guy that if you don't have him in the second round. Ugh, so yeah. I'm fucking mad. I'm mad. So, Luke McCaffrey, goddammit.
I mean, your guys and I think my team's division too with the cornerbacks that Detroit took with their first two are strong picks of need. The secondary, especially on that defense of the Lions, was a problem, and they might have fixed it. So, yeah, as much as I am not displeased with my draft, I felt like everybody in my division got better. I felt like most of your division did too. That's like the Giants, probably. yeah, it's but it is the time of the year where all fans are probably walking a little higher out of the draft going, there's a chance we've got the next Joe Montana.
Joe Montana?
You know, the tackle.
I mean, we can definitely talk a little shit about the Atlanta Falcons, but they did get Braylon Trice at 74, which I think is quality.
Yeah.
And they got J.D. Bertrand late. But, I mean, they had a shit draft. It was not good.
After they went very heavy on that defensive line stuff that people were telling them they probably should have focused on earlier instead of Ruka Ahoraho there in the beginning of the second. But anyways, yeah, you're right.
Ororo.
There's a lot of guys that are going to get that are dumping on the Falcons, rightfully probably so. But that was the draft. I don't know how much of you got to watch. I watched it with my brother on Thursday night because we knew something big was going to happen for the Vikings. And he was able to hit the road before the end of that first round because I think it was almost 11 o'clock at night, but we traded up. So we were good there. And then I could kind of watch the ticker on Friday, and on Saturday I did get a little bit of viewing while the last last rounds were going.
Oh yeah, dude, it was. Yeah, I mean, I think we were texting live, and I was like, I just don't want them to take Tyler Guyton here at 24, and they traded back, and I was like, all right, well, fine, fuck it. As long as they didn't take him, I'm fine with it.
So there you are. That was the draft of 2024, you guys. This is pretty much, that is season 7 of the NFL Push-Up Podcast, you guys. We're going to wrap this one up, and in order to do that, I've got a couple of crazy stats.
Ooh, please.
Finish this up here. Because we really liked the Chicago Bears draft and they're fixing their team forever, et cetera, et cetera. Before they do that, I'm going to shit on him one more time, everybody.
Ooh.
Here's the stats Caleb Williams must surpass to have the Chicago Bears' best rookie quarterback season ever. All right. He must have over 0.65 touchdowns a game. He must have over 130 yards passing per game. He must have over 65.8 completion percentage. He must have over 15. He must have 15 starts, and he must have a passer rating of 82.1.
Yeah, I feel like Caleb has it in. Okay,
you think Caleb has it in? Yeah. Oh man. So it's been. It's been a rough history for the Bears, so here we go. He'll be wearing 18. He's not going to take the number away from Keenan Allen, which is I think that's a big boy move. You know, he's been 13 forever or whatever. But you know, Keenan Allen is a set vet in that league, so yeah.
I think it makes sense.
And then finally, too, because we're leaving you guys, and you'll have to turn to, you know, hockey, NBA playoffs, and the MLB. There are 9 quarterbacks that make more money in a year than the Athletics will play their entire ball club.
Oh, boy.
They say play or pay. Pay their entire ball club, yeah. So, ouch. Ouch. The soon-to-be Vegas A's. It's Oakland. It's all have Oakland. To be. Just a mess there. Okay, that's my crazy stats. That's what I guys have to leave you guys with here this push-off podcast. We're wrapping up season 7 of this show. Who knows? Maybe we do it in a void, but we love doing it. And before we do say goodbye for some months, Dan, any parting words of wisdom?
I actually do want to talk about one thing you said.
Oh.
That they're going to pay more than the entire Oakland A's.
Yeah, the Athletics, yeah.
Caleb Williams' soon-to-be contract will pay him more than the entire WNBA. Every single member of the WNBA combined.
But Caitlin Clark is the Fever now. No?
No.
Ah,
their salary cap is like $1.5 million. The whole team, it's $1.5 million. So yes, Caleb Williams by himself is making more league. Money than the WNBA, than Jeez. The whole league.
I mean, you know, if you asked some people in like Europe, like what did we do Thursday through Saturday? Like we all 775,000 people collected in Detroit to watch people. Name off names for a list. You know, it's a wild thing, but this is how
they'd be like, why not just watch basketball, dude?
This is
like,
how big the NFL is, man. But yeah, that's it. So Dan, parting words of wisdom.
Go spend time with your family. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You need your family to get bonded to you. The closeness needs to, you know, really grow so that sometime in August when you start to pull away, they start to come with you, and then they get hooked by the NFL as well. So that's the goal, is to, you know, develop that bond so that when you move back towards the NFL, your family comes with you, and you get to all sit and just veg out on a Sunday. That's my dream, man. That's the dream, is have me and all my girls sitting down watching Cowboys and football game, you know, from noon to 10. That's what we want. So, you know, one more year closer to that goal.
There you go. Yeah, I can't wait. I think my wife was like, oh, we're gonna lose dad soon to football. I was like, no, it's like months away. Feels like so close. Lose dad. Come join dad. Come join dad. Losing his mind.
Come join dad. That's the way to go. That's the way to think about it.
Thank you guys so much. Come join us next year, will you? I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
Enjoy your time off, and we'll see you season 8. All right? Goodbye.